probably would hear him say, "You tell me how much I love you. And you measure that because of what I've done for you. I died for you. But when I look at you who's supposed to be my people, I can't determine how much you love me. Because every day you're in a place of rebellion." Having said that, we give honor this morning to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, to your very fine pastor, Pastor Quinn, Pastor Donaldson, Minister Allen, to the officers, members, and friends of this church and various churches, we bid you a good morning and happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. I'm not gonna hold you long. I'm gonna stand here and say what thus said the Lord, and hope those of you who are true blood washed believers won't leave here upset, but will leave here rejoicing. Because that's what believers do. When we hear the word, we rejoice. Come on, somebody, y'all hear me? Yeah. David said it like this, Minister Allen, and I was glad what he said to me. Come on, somebody, let us go into the house of the Lord. When your connection is where it ought to be, you want to be around the fire. You want to be where Jesus is, because you want to hear what? From high. But when your connection is not right, you are, "Lord, I hope they heard me say, I got to go. I got to get back home so I can finish sinning." Open your Bibles. Oh God, open your Bibles. I asked the Lord to help me to be nice today. But he said, "Preach my word." Somebody already holding their head now, so "Oh, here we go." Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Amen. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. Okay, my iPad won't act up. See, Lord have mercy. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. The very first verse, read it to you from the King James Version. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and do what?
Anoint him.
And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the
sun.
And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Verse 6, and he said unto them, be not affrighted. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. That news for you. He is risen. He's not here. Behold," read the rest,
"the
place where they laid him." You may be seated. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you this morning in the most humble way. I come to you this morning, first of all, Lord, to say thank you, sir. Thank you for what you did on Calvary. You didn't have to do it. But because of your unconditional love, you sacrificed your life for all of humanity. Lord, you have paid the price that none of us were able to pay. And we thank you. I know, Lord, I know that our work doesn't demonstrate how much we love and care for you. And right now at Mount Vernon Church, we want to confess that as a sin against you. Like David will say, create within us a clean heart and renew within us the right spirit. Father God, allow your anointing to fall afresh upon us right now. Pray, Father, you would open up ears. Open up ears that has been shut. And open up eyes that has been blinded. So that they may see the reality of who you are. We need to be reminded this morning that the payment for sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Christ Jesus. Forgive us of those things that you're not pleased with as we walk through your word today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. From those passages of scriptures that was read in your hearing, can I talk to you for a few moments? It's not over. It's not over. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's not over. If you have a neighbor on the other side of you, would you be so kind to look at that neighbor as well and say, neighbor, it's not over. Give God a hand clap. My brothers and sisters, we live in a very cynical time. We are in a very me-centric time. We are in an age of moral relativism, where wrong is now viewed as right, and right is now viewed as wrong. And if you are a faithful believer, you are now viewed as controversial. And what used to be the order of the day has been turned upside down. And what you and I now believe is now under attack. Wow. Pastors, I've not seen it in all the days of my living of how now when you tell folk what thus said the Lord, you are viewed as a controversial person. You and I, our faith is under attack. But Tony, I promised the Lord a few weeks ago that I'm going to stand for him and I'm not going to be silent. I don't care who like it, don't like it, because he's been too good to me. Satan wants to shut the church down. He wants to shut the church up. He don't want believers crying out on behalf of God. And he has now, Minister Allen, infiltrated not the world, but he has come into the body of Christ. It's amazing to me when I look back at stuff and when I just examine some things and when I ride and meditate and think about how good God is and look at folk who call themselves Christians, who in the pulpit, in the congregation, in the choir, sing about the goodness of God and preaching about goodness of God. And as soon as we leave church, we right back into our sinful state. And when the pastor tries to tell us that you're going to live for Jesus, we get held in us. Yeah, we get mad, want to leave the church, and how about this is my business, and you ought not be concerned about what I do. I do what I want to do, but I've learned, if you're a child of God, you can't do what you want to do, because God never has control over your life. Only people that can think that you can do what you want to do is folk that's never met him, because when you meet Jesus, you can't live like you used to live. The devil is a lie. Oh my God, I'm going. The devil is a lie. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, you just can't do it. It's amazing to me that how we can do any and everything and won't have no kind of conviction. How can you get up from sleeping with somebody that you got married with, that you're shacking with, and come to church like everything is all right? How can you go outside of marriage and commit adultery and come to church on Sunday morning, say like singing is out of style, knowing that you're not living the way Jesus wants you to live. Devil is a lie. I want to tell you something that a friend and I was discussing it about early this morning. I want to tell you something. Just because everybody's doing it, don't mean it's right. You better say something up if you're almost there. Don't mean it's right. For the Bible says the broad road, many will travel. You better say it. Well, I don't care if the neighbor's doing it, if the best friend is doing it, if the uncle is doing it. If God says it's wrong, I don't care who's doing it. It's wrong. And I'm not going to follow the crowd because I feel it. Like I just want to do it. I want to do it. The devil is stroking my emotions and making me feel good. I don't give a darn how good you feel. If God says it is wrong. Then it is wrong. What I need to do is just say, Lord, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Come on. Might as well be honest and say, I know it's wrong. I know what I'm saying is wrong. I know where I'm going is wrong. I know what I'm doing wrong. But guess what? I'm going to do what I want to do. Because see, you can't hide from nobody. Yep. Come on. Let me rephrase that. All right. Let me rephrase that. I'm almost done. You can hide from folk. Yeah. Right. And I've learned sometimes you can't hide from folk. But one thing is for sure, there is one that sits high. Y'all better say something up in here. And he looks low. And he sees every time you slip up. He sees when you go home to somebody that you done left there that you're not married to. He sees every time you go home to somebody that you are married to, but you're not treating them right. He sees when you leave the one that you are married to go sleep with somebody else. You may hide from me, but God knows everything. Can I get a witness up in here? Oh, Lord. I thought we supposed to be talking about resurrection. You know? That's what somebody's saying. That ain't no resurrection sermon. But it's not over. Chapter 11 says it's not over. It's not over. I want you to encourage somebody today. By saying it's not over. When you think your life is at an end, when you think it's all over, when you feel like all hope is lost, you feel like throwing in the towel. I want to tell you something. It's not over. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't throw in the towel because it's not over. It's not over. They laid him, Pastor Donaldson. They laid him in a tomb. They laid him in a tomb. They crucified him. They killed him. They laid him in a tomb. They laid him in a tomb. They thought it was all over. He's done, Minister Allen. We've got rid of him. Oh, yeah, because he's dead. And dead means that that's the end. It's no more. We don't have to worry about this Jesus that's been so controversial. This Jesus that's been opening up blind ears and been going against the grain. We finally got him. We're going to put dirt on his face, a casket in the ground. We finally got rid of him. We don't have to worry about this man that's messing up the society, messing up economics, messing up the church, messing up what we believe, telling us what's right, telling us what's wrong. We finally got rid of him, but you need to touch your neighbor and say, it's not over. Lord, I praise you. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. I want to tell you something. Somebody will throw some dirt in your face. There is somebody in here right now. I believe I'm speaking to you. I want to speak a prophetic word in your spirit this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. You've been catching hell and high water. You've been going from one thing to another. Life has dealt you a blow. And every time you look around, there is one thing after another. You walked in Mount Vernon this morning, depressed and discouraged. But I want to let you know Sunday is coming. I want to let you know that regardless of how you've been treated, regardless of what's been said about you, regardless of what's been done, regardless of how people slapped you in the face, regardless of how you've been rejected, regardless of how they spit in your face, regardless of how they spit in your heart, and regardless of how they attack your mind, regardless of what they say about you, regardless of how ugly they are to you, regardless of how mean they are to you, you need to touch your neighbor and say, it's not over. It's not over. Some of us People have tried to crucify you. Yeah. They may not have put a spear in your side, but they stuck a dagger in your heart. Yeah. You better say something up in here. Yeah. You better say something up in here. I'm trying to help you. Yeah. You might have been spat out and talked about. You may have been, come on, you may feel rejected and abandoned and all by yourself. Yeah. But I come to serve you notice today that it is not over. It's not over. Let me get to my first point. I feel pretty good right now, Pastor. I feel pretty good. Not only did they lay him in a tomb, but the Bible said they rolled a stone in front of the tomb. Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait just a minute. It was a great stone. Yeah. When they went to anoint the body of Jesus on the next day, they began to talk among themselves. They said, "Who shall roll away the stone for us?" Can I give you point one? Let me give you point one. Whatever stones are in your life, Jesus will roll them away. Yo, God, you gotta. I wish somebody just praise Him right now. There's somebody that has put some stones in your path. They tried to block you. They tried to stop you. The enemy has tried to put. Has tried to shut you down. He attacked your body. He's done some things to your mind. But I need to tell you, Jesus will roll the stone away. I've learned. You can't keep a good man down. I don't care how you put your foot in, Brother Grant. You can't keep a good man down. If God is on your side, if God be for you, I hear you speaking, Jesus. If I be for you, then now who don't like you? It doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter if they don't want to call you. It doesn't matter if they don't want to text you. If I be for you, who can be against you? If I be for you. Oh, God, I got to say it again. If I be for you. If I be for you. It doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what they try to do to you. If I be for you. And who can be against you? The date, the stone indicated the end. It's over. It's over. It's done. But I need to remind you again, it's not over. It's not over. But when I tell you on Easter Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, when he got up out of the grave. I want to tell you something. God just spoke to my spirit. He just got an email from heaven. Come on, yeah. Minister Allen, I just got an email from heaven, Pastor Allison. Yeah. I just got an email just in reading that. God told me, he says, this is for you to tell the people. Yes, but I want them to understand that at the end of the day, whatever went on today, whatever's happening in your today, just know there is a tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, I praise you. Yeah. Just know there is a resurrection day. Yeah. You might have died on yesterday. Yeah. Some stuff may have happened on yesterday. Yeah. You may have even said, I'm not going to church early tomorrow. Yeah. But you got to remember what happened today is today, but tomorrow is coming. I need to tell you something. When you wake up in the morning, you have an opportunity to write your life's chapter. You have an opportunity to start all over again. I'm glad that when yesterday is gone, God says, I'm going to give you a new day. And today I want you to write a different chapter. Because close the chapter on yesterday. Yesterday is past and gone. It's for yesterday, but I've given you a new day, and on this day, you have the responsibility to write a new chapter. And I stopped by very long enough to tell you what to do today ought to be different than what you did on yesterday, because if you want God to bless you, you got to keep on moving toward heaven. Get rid of anybody that spoke. That's keeping you away from God. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
I was telling somebody at the hospital that was talking to me. And it was a family member. And the family member was going through some trying situations.
Yeah.
And the situations that don't have to be.
All
right. And I said to them, I said, when I tried to talk to you a week ago and shed some light, because you're in the darkness, you rejected it, didn't want to hear it.
Amen.
Now you have gotten yourself further into a predicament, and you wouldn't have to be in this predicament if you'd heard God's voice some weeks ago.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? But now it's not over, because you have an opportunity today to change some things.
Right.
You have an opportunity to rewrite some stuff and start what all over again.
Yeah.
Do I have any witnesses in here?
Yeah.
I gotta hurry to a close because we gotta get over the outside. But I gotta hurry to a close. See, you might feel like your life has come to an end.
Uh-huh.
But I want to encourage you, don't throw in the towel. Don't write my end yet, because it's not over. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful, because sometimes folk will write your in.
Yeah.
Tell you it's all over for you.
Yeah.
But if you know God's words, you can look them dead in the face and say, no, it's not over yet. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
They may kick you. They may put you down. They may even put their foot on top of you.
Yeah.
But if you know about the power of God, you can look the enemy straight in the eye and say, it's not over. Can I get a witness here? I want to tell you that when you look around at what Jesus has done, Pastor Crane, when I studied the text, I began to ask, why would they treat my Lord that way? I began to ask, why would they do Jesus that way? He was not guilty of any kind of insurrection. He was only guilty for opening up blind eyes. He was only guilty for feeding 5,000 hungry souls. He was only guilty of taking those that had deaf ears and opened the ears. As I slept this morning, I woke up saying, why do my Lord like that? I heard the prophet Isaiah rumbling through over 2,000 years as he began to speak into my psyche. And Isaiah says, come, he was not bruised because of anything he done, but he was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon his shoulder. And by stripes, you are healed. I stop by to tell my friends, it's not over yet. It's not over. Because they stuck him on Friday night.
Yeah.
Death stuck him on Friday.
Yeah.
He was in the grave all day Saturday and all night Saturday. But before I get to Sunday, I got to visit the pits of hell, because I can't go back to heaven leaving folk chained up and tired. I can't go back to heaven leaving folk bound by the chains of hell. He stepped out into the devil's territory, stepped out into hell and told the devil, you got to let my people go. To loose them and let them go. I heard that on Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power. They thought they had him, but it was over yet. They thought they killed him, but it was not over. They thought they got rid of the Savior, but it was not over. Thank you. Thank you for getting up.